What's up, Toasters, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. Today, we had something weighing heavily on our hearts that we want to discuss. Planned Parenthood gets a lot of attention, whether you agree with it or don't. So Maddie B and I would like to lay down some groundwork for you so that you can understand a different perspective should it come your way. We'll be covering abortion more specifically, and I hope you enjoy just a few toasty facts about the history of Planned Parenthood. Let's get toasty. Yo, what's up, guys? This is Sky.
And this is Matty B.
We are the Toasty Podcast, and we're back at it again tonight with a deep dive on Planned Parenthood. It's going to be lit. It's going to be serious. And honestly, I need to give you guys a little bit of a disclaimer. Listener discretion and viewer discretion is advised.
It's going to get a little bit graphic.
Because we might get a little bit graphic. We might talk a little bit graphic. But hey, it's all in the name of let's keep these babies alive. So let's get toasty.
Let's do it.
Before we begin, guys, I just want to go over this quick thing here. If you watch the screen, I'm going to go to Patreon. First of all, it's patreon.com/toastypodcast. There, you can support us. What you'll do is sign up, and per month, you'll pay $5. What that does for us is it gives us equipment. It helps us upload better podcasts, quality. It helps us upload bigger podcasts. It helps us with almost everything. And we can't do it without the Toasty fans. The next thing I want to go over is how to follow us on Spotify. Toasty Podcast in Google gets you us. First thing you see is Spotify, the Toasty Podcast. I'm going to select that. And hot dog, we're there.
Boom.
Click follow, which I'm already following, of course. Why wouldn't I follow my own podcast? You know what I'm saying?
That'd be embarrassing if you
want. And boom, boom. Yeah, that's it. Done. Okay, cool, guys. Just wanted to go over that real quick. Always like, share, subscribe. That's how we get better. That's how we get bigger. And let's get into it. So, this is insane. I think this is a big deal because I don't think anyone really understands or knows the history or, how this actually came about. I don't know if anyone understands what Margaret Sanger was doing when she was coming up with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what I want people to actually kind of try to understand. I'm trying to get people to understand exactly that. And that's what we're doing it today. So
yeah.
I'm going to go over some articles. And obviously during that time, Matt will just, do his thing. Freaking research it up like he always does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyway, if I can fix this freaking mic, dude. You know, I'm not going to make it serious. Well, we're going to make it serious, but I'm not going to it's not a speech. I'm not giving you a speech.
Yeah, more of an information disclosure.
Sorry, guys. I'm trying to figure
this
out.
All set?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
To tighten this up just a smidgely scotch. So it's funny that Planned Parenthood's
there we go. Awesome.
Their motto or whatever they have, the logo, I guess. No, motto, right?
Is it the motto? Is it the thing they say? Tagline? Like,
yeah,
stay toasty?
Sure. It's care, period.
Stay toasty.
It's care no matter what.
That's it? That's their motto?
That's their motto, bro. All about women's reproductive health.
That's weird that they do that and then... Interesting. Okay, cool. Well, so I went to PlannedParenthood.com. I just wanted to see what was going on here. This is the first thing that popped up is that ad for donations, I guess.
Apparently they mean more than just public funding from Medicare, so.
Yeah, they have a lot of funding. They definitely have a lot of funding.
Yeah, they also donate to a lot of, they have their own super PAC and they donate to mostly Democrats.
Right.
Endorsed Obama twice.
Okay.
So they're Democratic.
The next thing I would say is, you see these, you see the other things they do, right? And I know they do a lot of stuff, I guess. I'm not sure. They support, I guess, a lot of more stuff than just abortion. I don't mean support like that. I mean, they help out in that way, right? Like, don't they?
Yeah, they do other things.
Because that's always the thing I hear, services. From people saying, no, Planned Parenthood needs to stay there is, well, they also do, birth control, and they also help with birth, and they also do, counseling and stuff. Is that right?
They do counseling. They do all sorts of stuff. That's good, but so does every other clinic ever. But not every clinic provides, abortion.
Right. Okay.
And Planned Parenthood makes a good chunk of change off abortion. They say anywhere from 3 to 12% is of their services are abortions. Now, how much money they make off of abortions, I don't know. I don't know if those that's disclosed or not.
Interesting. Yeah, that would be something I would look into here. But what we want to try to get to is the history behind it. And, you know, when it first started, it was called the American Birth Control League. That was 1921. 1942, it changed its name to Planned Parenthood. You know, it's interesting why they called it the American Birth Control League. What does that even mean?
Margaret Sanger, to begin with, was, and through most of her life, was more oriented towards birth control than abortions. She actually condemned abortions. She believed, hold on, let me, I'll give a brief history of Margaret Sanger since we're jumping on that real quick. So she was arrested in 1914 under the Comstock Laws, and that was signed by President Grant in the 1870s. It was a series of laws that basically barred citizens from mailing obscenities. Like, you could not mail like a pornographic image. You couldn't even write about any of that and send a letter. That was banned in the U.S.
Holy cow.
For decades, for probably close to 50 years.
Wow.
And
now you can get like, now we have Pornhub.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's crazy. How things have, changed. Yeah. That you couldn't mail anything through the U.S. Postal Service, like no sex toys, no obscenities, no love letters that were graphic. None of that.
I just
was
wonder how
legal.
The companies even get them, you know. Where does a XXX store get their stuff? Where does Spencer's
they didn't exist
get their
back
stuff?
Then.
They didn't exist.
Mm. Exactly. So, she was more in favor of birth control than abortion. She said it was more practical. So, she was a very, let's just say she was a very cold person. And a side note, she was friends with, good friends with H.G. Wells, who wrote, he's the author that wrote Invisible Man and War of the Worlds. So I think her philosophy towards society and people within society can be summed up in this. She believed in three classes of people. She believed in the, quote, educated and well-informed, intelligent and responsible, and then the irresponsible and reckless people. So those are the three classes. And she said about the irresponsible and so the first people were educated and well-informed, and that's like your, you know, upper educated people, like college graduates and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. Intelligent and responsible, she basically said that those people were educated, but they didn't quite have the means to control the rate of procreation. So, and then she said about the irresponsible and reckless people, quote, whose religious scruples prevent their exercising control over their numbers. And that's end quote. Which basically means Catholics. She basically said because Catholics don't believe in contraception that she concludes there is no doubt in the minds of all thinking people that the procreation of this group should be stopped. She believed that if you don't believe in birth control, that you basically should not be allowed to have kids.
That's interesting.
Yep.
That's really interesting. I don't know, man.
That's
but,
a 1921 speech called The Morality of Birth Control that she gave. That's where those quotes are from. And then, she believed in the sterilization of the profoundly retarded, quote unquote. She was anti-Nazi. She didn't believe in the basically the mass murder of people. She was pretty much against murder. And the craziest thing I think that she believed in was she proposed permits for parenthood by city, county, or state governments.
So you're allowed to have kids.
With a
rule that you can't have kids if you
don't
have
a permit.
Right.
Right. And she said that she wasn't really in favor of punishing those who didn't have a permit and had kids. She was more in favor of incentivizing those and rewarding those that had kids with a permit, if that makes sense. So if you have a kid without a permit, there's no real punishment. But if you have a kid with a permit, you get $1,000 or whatever.
What the heck, dude?
That's what she believed in. So she has some interesting views, to say the least.
I don't know, man. That's really weird.
But she wasn't.
She went to Claverack College and Hudson River Institute.
Yeah. And she wasn't necessarily racist, but she also didn't shy away from. And she allied with people who were blatantly racist and that sort of thing to get her agenda completed and advance her
agenda.
Yeah,
so that's another thing that's kind of like a common misconception, I would say.
Yeah.
People just throw the racist name on her.
Like, she didn't want to just kill...
Hold on, I'm not defending her by any means. I'm saying they usually do that.
Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't want to kill, like, all the blacks or anything. She didn't want the black population to decrease. She just wanted the poor and ignorant population to decrease, which at the time was blacks.
Clearly, because it ends up being that.
It's 50 years after the end of the Civil War.
Okay, wow. That's crazy. This is a long article, too. Damn, that's crazy. I don't want to subscribe. You know what I hate? Freaking ad models that, oh my God. They don't, Washington Post, dude, just let me read it, man.
Yeah.
Okay, Time Magazine actually wrote about Margaret Sanger, and I don't know, I thought it'd be interesting, but the thing is that, last year, 25 House Republicans campaigned to have a bust of the pioneering family planner removed from the Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery, where it has been included in an exhibit featuring American civil rights leaders called, you know what's weird? 25 House Republicans campaigned to have her out of the Smithsonian,
mm-hmm.
while Planned Parenthood themselves removed her name in New York at their first clinic ever had abortions. The first clinic to provide abortions. They removed her name from it.
Yep. Because she was associated with racists.
And all of a sudden, they did that. But meanwhile, Republicans are trying to get rid of her in Smithsonian. It's so weird. And they said the struggle for justice. It's an exhibit called The Struggle for Justice. With Ted Cruz's office issuing a press release explaining that she didn't belong there for a number of reasons. Wow. That's weird. And then the quotes, she advocated for the extermination of African Americans. But we already know that that's not necessarily true. It's not the first time Sanger has faced this accusation. During this past primary season, Ben Carson proclaimed that Sanger believed that people like me shouldn't be eliminated. Wow.
Hmm.
Later clarifying per PolitiFact that he was talking about the black race. And in 2011, Herman Cain alleged that Sanger's original goal for Planned Parenthood was to help kill black babies before they came into the world. You know, those are the exact accusations I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're basically throwing political punches.
Yeah,
those are all politicians that were probably running for president, like Herman Cain in 2012. You know what I mean?
Right. No. I agree. So we're talking about much of it stems from a 1939 letter in which mm-hmm. Sanger outlined her plan to reach out to black leaders.
And the first clinic she had in Harlem was had all black. I don't know if they're physicians or just. I don't know. But it was all black employees essentially at this clinic in Harlem.
Right.
So she wasn't overtly racist.
So
like
I mean in the what I want to talk about she too is like so we have that
racist.
First beginning, what happened, how it was made and all that, but where were we at in the 1940s to 60s, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that was before Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was 73, I believe.
Okay.
So each state could outlaw abortions up until that time.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so they could do it themselves?
The states?
It was up to the state?
Correct, yeah, it was up to the states completely.
Interesting.
So, here we go. So, in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, Casey was the governor of Pennsylvania, I believe. That struck down, that was probably the biggest court case that Planned Parenthood was involved in.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have the year of that, but I think it was it was 92. They struck down spousal consent requirements. So if the father objected to the mother getting an abortion, didn't matter after 92.
Wow.
Certain states you had to have the mother and the father sign off. And then Planned Parenthood is also against parental consent. So if a 17-year-old gets pregnant and wants an abortion, certain states would say, okay, well, you're 17, you're not of age, you have to have parental consent to get this abortion.
Right.
Planned Parenthood's against that.
Oh, so you can't get a tattoo, but you can freaking kill a baby.
Yep. So, yeah.
That's
another,
crazy, man.
Another statistical fact that Planned Parenthood released in 2014, now this is obviously 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago, 324,000 abortions were performed that year. Let's see, more.
My thing is like, I want to see statistics because, like, on how, you know, how many of these cases were, you know, you say they're rape victims and they, you know, maybe they.
I mean, you could cross reference that with
whatever.
You could cross reference that with rapes that end in pregnancy.
Right. Yeah, you could. And yeah. I think that.
I'm sure the FBI crime statistics might have
they
some
would have something,
semblance
dude.
Of that.
They
so.
Keep track of everything. I just don't think it would be as many. I think that out of those 320,000, you'd see 10,000.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming, obviously. I'm just speculating.
I mean, you could look
it
up.
You know what I mean? But. You know what I'm saying?
Computer,
like,
but, yeah, so according to some secret recordings that were made, there was a Planned Parenthood director of a clinic, I think that they were a clinic director or maybe even a physician, that advocated for a, quote, less crunchy technique to get, quote, more specimens, end quote, for organ harvesting of fetuses. Yeah, less crunchy technique to get more specimens. That's an actual quote from a recording of a Planned Parenthood employee. Another Planned Parenthood physician. This is a physician that said this, quote, per the, they're talking about, let me put this in context a little bit. They're talking about, basically baby organs and selling them, which is obviously very illegal. There's a recording of this. It's on YouTube, still up as of today. She said, quote, per item thing works better so that we can see how much we can get out of it, end quote. And she's talking about basically that the buyer wants to buy bulk baby organs, and this physician is like, no, let's do per item because we make more money that way. And that's Planned Parenthood for you.
So we have recent estimates suggest that rape conception happens between 25,000 and 32,000 times each year in the U.S. In 1996, three-year longitudinal
of Planned Parenthood's
longitudinal
abortions.
Study of 4,000 American women. Physician Melissa Holmes estimated from data from her study that forced sexual intercourse causes over 32,000 pregnancies in the United States. Okay, cool. So that means, or not cool, but that means. 10% of, yeah, literally 10%.
Of Planned Parenthood
abortions.
Of those,
Planned Parenthood
abortions about a million,
that we estimated,
there's
right?
about a million abortions per year.
Right, and not, that may not be Planned Parenthood.
No, the majority of them are not.
Here's my thing.
They're private practices.
Here's what someone might say, right?
Yeah.
Before this ever existed, we had brutal abortions, like, because people would just do it. Legally, obviously, but they would just be like, even without Planned Parenthood, they would beat themselves or they would... You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It was,
could,
you
know, back alley abortions,
their whatever cervix.
That literally still happens, but it's just legal now, and it's with sterilized equipment.
So what's up with the? You know, I've heard this before too. I've heard that there's a pill that, you know, whenever you're giving an abortion, you can use a pill. I'm gonna search that too, but.
I've never heard of a pill that just, like, dissolves a fetus in the womb.
The abortion pill, learn the facts, FWPC, Fort Worth Pregnancy Center. Oh, wow, that's close. That's really close. Okay, hold on. Initial consultation. Talk to the options.
Whoa, go up. Step two, read all that.
Step one, an initial consultation with a client advocate to discuss your plans and the options available to you. Step two, an ultrasound is provided by our medical staff. Knowing how far along you are, if there are signs you might miscarry, or if you have an ectopic pregnancy, are all important pieces of information to help you in your decision-making process. The ultrasound will provide this confidentiality and free of charge. Step three is talk through your options with your client, advocate, including procedure types, risks, and recovery time. Your next steps should be based on knowledge, not fear, and should give you peace of mind, not panic. Now, I wanted to see about a pill, and this didn't give me anything. Okay, hold on. Types of abortion.
Do one that's not an ad.
Okay.
How does the abortion pill work? That's not... probably not Plan B. We're not talking about Plan B here.
No, I know. Abortion pill. What is medical abortion helpline? Mayo Clinic.
Mayo Clinic. Yeah, I don't... just click on one. Let's read it.
Okay. So this is the one I've clicked on first. Abortion pill is also known as a medical abortion. There are two main types of abortions, medical abortions and surgical abortions. A medical abortion may be commonly called the abortion pill. Interesting, but involves taking two types of abortion pills. These pills will terminate a pregnancy and are not the same as what is commonly known as the morning after pill. The first pill that you will take is mifepristone. The second is misoprostol, also known as Cytotec. The use of the two medications together increase the effectiveness of the abortion. You can obtain these medications through doctors and clinics that provide abortion services like Planned Parenthood. You should never buy them online or on the black market. Abortion procedures can cost up to $800. However, this cost fluctuates depending on the area where you live. So there is a pill, but I'm guessing it just causes you to have
go to the effectiveness
miscarriage.
Scroll down.
The abortion pill is very effective when misoprostol and mifepristone are used together. They have about a 98% effectiveness rate. The age of the pregnancy, the medication doses and administration, and whether or not a woman has been pregnant before may impact the effectiveness.
So, okay, go down to how it works and look. Okay, right here. Mifepristone will be the first pill that you take. It works by blocking the progesterone and causing the lining of the uterus to break down, terminating the pregnancy. So this is like early first trimester stuff. About 24 to 48 hours, you take the first pill, misoprostol, which causes the uterus to contract and expel the embryo and uterine lining. So this is while it's still, quote-unquote, an embryo. This is just the first few weeks.
Yeah, there's no way that...
Yeah.
Is there a con?
Your baby dies.
They're not 100% effective. Medical abortions may require... Okay. I was going to see maybe, yeah, if it would like literally would just say you can't use it after
what's
this
point.
What's
the timeline like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Potential risks, what to do after taking the pill.
Hmm.
I have this other one here, but it may show that why it's done. Risks are too far along. You should attempt a medical abortion if you've been pregnant for more than 9 weeks after the start of your last period. Some types of medical abortion aren't done after 7 weeks of pregnancy. So you can only do the pill 7 weeks in.
Yeah.
Or less, I would say, at this point. So that's kind of out, right? Like, for some of these people, they would get an abortion. What's the absolute latest you can get an abortion at Planned Parenthood?
The day before birth? Yeah. That's called the late-term abortion. We can go over that if you're ready for it.
Holy crap, dude. If I'm ready for it, I'm ready for it.
But okay,
that's crazy,
so
dude.
I've got abortion procedures right here and there. This is where it gets very, very graphic. So if you're weak-stomached or you have a soul, then just listen carefully. So first trimester abortion procedures. The most common is suction aspiration. Pretty much what it sounds like. A tube with an edge tip goes into the womb. Then they suction out the fetus limb from limb while it's still alive. Okay, so they basically just stick a tube up there and...
Right. Yeah.
So my wife is currently pregnant. She is, I'm going to get in trouble, 12 and a half weeks at least. So she's just finishing her first trimester. Our baby's about the size of a lemon right now. Mm-hmm. So super cute.
Little lemon.
And
that's cute.
The second trimester abortion procedures is dilation and curettage. Basically, you go in with slightly larger instruments. You chop up the baby in the womb, and then with a special scalpel, you scrape it all out piece by piece. And then this is also second and possibly closer to third trimester abortion, which depending on the state is legal. Dilation and evacuation, also pretty much what it sounds like. They dilate, and then a doctor, quote unquote, uses forceps to grab the baby's limbs one by one, forcibly pull them out, and then they use those same forceps to grab the baby's brain, crush it, and then they pull that out, and then they do the same thing with the spine. They grab the spine, crush it, and pull it out.
Holy crap, dude.
Partial birth abortion is just straight up evil. There's no way you can justify this in my mind, or really any abortion, but this is just awful. The procedure is an ultrasound first to identify what you're grabbing. They find the head of the baby, and then they find the legs. They pull the legs with forceps into the birth canal. So they literally pull everything out except for the head. They deliver the entire baby except the head. They then stab the baby in the back of the head, at the base of the head, where the head meets the neck. And then they scramble and suck out the brains. That kills the baby, obviously. And then they pull out the rest of the baby whole, and that preserves most organs for harvesting.
And the issue, people are going to say, you're describing it wrong or some crap, but like, we're just literally stating how they do it by facts. I don't know if we're exaggerating any of this.
No.
It's just straight what they do. It's not like we're trying to make it sound worse than it is or anything like that.
It's just
that
facts.
Bad.
Yeah,
it is that bad. And it's like, holy crap, that's graphic. Crazy, dude. That's
so
insane.
So there's a, if you want to set up this video, there's a doctor that basically
describes
it.
Is this the one?
That's it. That's it.
This is the one? Okay.
Yep, that's it.
This investigation of Planned Parenthood is based on false premises, one after another after another. Time to stop wasting time, get on with meaningful work, and stop picking on women and trying to take their choice away. I yield back to the balance.
The time of the gentleman has expired. We welcome our distinguished witnesses today. Do you and each of you swear that the testimony that you are about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And out settings, including as an associate professor of OBGYN at the Albany Medical College. And Dr. Levitino, we'll begin with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. Second trimester D&E abortions performed between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks, but she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, you introduce a suction catheter into the uterus. This is a 14 French suction catheter. If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. After suctioning the amniotic fluid out from around the baby, you introduce an instrument called a Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's made of stainless steel. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and a half inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops a leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs.
The audience is
head on the baby that size is about the size of a large plum. Can't see it, but you pretty good idea you've got it if you've got your instrument around something and your fingers are spread about as far as they go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the instrument and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you could pull out skull pieces. And you have a day like I had a lot of times. Sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations. You just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You Holy just God. Affirmed her right to choose.
Yeah. So that's insane. Wow.
Yeah.
Do we have the other one where who was the actual girl? It wasn't Lena or whatever, Leanna, that got.
So I've got
out,
it here. It is her name is Abby Johnson. So I'm going to read you here, while you're looking that up, I'm going to read you her resignation from Planned Parenthood via Wikipedia.
Okay.
Johnson, in her description of her resignation from Planned Parenthood, says that in September 2009, she was called to assist in an ultrasound-guided abortion at 13 weeks of gestation. She said that she was disconcerted to see how similar the ultrasound image looked to her own daughter's, and said that she saw the fetus squirming and twisting to avoid the vacuum tube used for the abortion. Johnson continued working at the clinic for 9 more days, but soon met with Sean Carney, a leader of local anti-abortion group Coalition for Life, and told him she could no longer continue assisting women in getting abortions. She resigned October 6, 2009. After her resignation, she said that her supervisors had pressured her to increase profits by performing more and more abortions at the clinic, but she said that she could not produce any evidence.
My name is Abby Johnson.
Allegations. And that abortions account for 3% of all health services provided by Planned Parenthood. Now, that's 3% of all health services, not 3% of their income. That's the big difference.
It could be more of their income.
Exactly. It could be 90% of their income. Who knows? Whose spokesperson stated that Johnson's allegations were, quote, completely false, end quote. Of course, the Planned Parenthood spokesman said that.
Well, yeah, because like, all they're getting is, like, obviously it's an evidence. He's not going to have evidence because it was a conversation. It was conversations they had. It's like me telling people that, like, my boss told me that I have to sell more work to customers.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says that, right?
Exactly. It's just your boss telling you what to do.
This is that same thing she discusses why she left. I heard about that too. Basically, she saw it, and then she was like, oh, I'm out. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people in Planned Parenthood have actually, like, watched this.
Yeah, I think a requirement for volunteering or working at Planned Parenthood, but especially, I mean, also volunteering, is you need to sit and watch an abortion live and still see if you want to be a part of that organization. Or just a part of that society where that's legal.
Yeah, I mean, I...
What is that? Her, the RNC?
That is, it is. And we already know what she says, right? This is the same thing. What I kind of want to see is... I lost my train of thought. Who Planned Parenthood, like, funds? Is it just all the... Do they just lobby against all the Democrats? Is that what they do?
They lobby for Democrats, yeah.
Right.
So they donated about $6.5 million. Man, I can't remember the election cycle that it was.
It receives over a third of its money in government grants and contracts. In 2014, that's about $528 million. Subsidiaries: Planned Parenthood Action Fund, sectors: reproductive health.
Let's see.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, I've got it right here. So, where did it say how much?
I'm pulling up the 2018-19 annual report from Planned Parenthood.
Political spending, okay. So they have a super PAC. They also have a variety of related 501c4 entities.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2014 election cycle, that's a midterm election. That's just Congress. That's no presidential election in 2014.
Okay.
They spent $6.587 million on contributions to candidates and political parties, overwhelmingly to Democrats, and on independent expenditures.
Wow.
So in 2014 midterms, they spent $6.5 million. Think about the presidential cycles. How much money they get for Democrats? I don't know why the federal government gives them any money, because they are a political advocate group as well as organization of clinics.
I mean, do they even give money to other organizations that lobby? Right, they do
only if
they,
they're super duper pro-choice. Pro-abortion.
No, I mean, like, if there's another organization out there that gets funding from the government but also is a big lobbyist, like I'm thinking, like, other companies, like, I can't think of one. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I'm sure
there
are.
An education company that gets...
Lockheed Martin has tons of lobbyists, and they get tons of.
There you go. Okay. Tons so, of. It's a defense company.
Yeah. Every defense company.
I would
think
like conflict of interest, like you're saying, you know. But yeah. I guess that's not how that ends up working. Wow. This is just a report. What is this all about? Oh, how many patients and stuff they had?
9.8 million services provided. Like what?
STI testing and treatment, birth control information and services, breast exams and pap tests. I think they get.
All of which are fairly inexpensive. They're most of the time, Medicare will reimburse reimburse pretty much 100% of those. Like STI testing and treatment, not expensive, and Medicare pays for most of it. Birth control and information and services.
That's crazy, dude. And I wonder, what is this? Got Micah Institute.
Ooh, there was 393,000.
That's what I was looking at. So like
unintended pregnancies averted by Planned Parenthood.
And then it says two, right? And I go here, using formula developed by the Guttmacher Institute, or Guttmacher. Pro-choice research organization started in 1968 that works to study, educate, and advance sexual and reproductive health and rights.
Of course, they're in New York. Non-government organization?
Yeah. You know what, dude? That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know what else to like.
I mean, that's. I mean, holy honestly, crap. It's going to be a fairly short podcast because that's pretty much everything in a nutshell, and it's just something to like that not many people want to talk about, obviously, and not something that people are comfortable talking about. I'm comfortable talking about it. I'm not comfortable with it happening, obviously, but you've got to talk about stuff like this because if you turn a blind eye to it, it's going to get worse and worse, and before you know it. We're going to do what we're doing, killing millions and millions of people. 55 million people since Roe v. Wade.
And yeah, and then the comparison, I talked to some people at outside of this podcast, obviously, that one of the guys said, you know what, you could compare it like this. He said, if you do this and you could do abortion, and abortion is legal and you can and it's fine, he's like, well, then also you can kill very elderly people that don't contribute and don't have anything for themselves.
Yeah,
and have
euthanasia.
No responsibility and are a burden on the economy.
Yeah, what about killing the mentally retarded or mentally disabled?
Right.
They're just burdens, right?
Right. And that's where you're going with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I know it's extreme because it's you can't see it. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you can't see it.
You can't see it.
That's why they think it's just like whatever.
They haven't That's the thing is, a lot of people have it in their mind that a fetus isn't a person yet, and that they haven't impacted anybody yet. But as soon as a woman finds out she's pregnant, her whole life has changed completely, completely.
Yeah,
I mean, mine was when I found out. You know, it was like whoa. I made a lot of changes for sure.
Right. Right. Yeah. I agree. And this is where you want to...
When do human beings begin? Yeah, I'm not going to trust an institution of higher learning like Princeton because... Yeah. Or
okay.
Like,
all right.
It's all biased.
It's got to be like, you know, inception? Conception?
Conception.
Conception. Yeah, it's all... That's all... Right. And I don't...
That's something
what
that's
I,
just
what
like.
What I hate is that no matter what, you're going to find. Again, dude, everything we research, you're going to find a scientist that says, yeah, this is it. And then
especially
a
if you search
says,
on
no.
Google.
Yeah, no matter what. And
because
well,
Google's got an opinion now.
That. Right, exactly. They do. Yeah, you're right. You're right, man. And this is insane. And I think we've hit it. Honestly, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, kind of just
kind of depresses
me. Loses your appetite for sure.
It depresses me, and I'm like, this sucks, and I don't want to even. It's insane, but I wanted to hit it. We needed to hit it.
Yeah,
I wanted it to be on the show. I want people to know. I want people to be able to comfortably talk about what they believe in.
That's the whole point of this podcast is the casual
is.
Conversation about uncomfortable or controversial topics.
Yeah.
What we do.
That's what we do then. All right, guys, like, share, subscribe. Obviously, I showed you how. Follow me on Spotify. We should,
dude, okay, sorry to interrupt.
Go to Patreon. Hold on, guys. We got something else. What's up?
We should totally, like, look up a puppy video or something and just make it, like, end it on a good, happy note.
Oh,
like,
dude, let's look up something happy.
Puppies licking a little girl's face would just be great right now.
YouTube, little puppies. Funny puppies and puppy videos.
Okay.
Here you guys go.
When the only thing that matters is being together, why not bring the holidays to a Vrbo vacation home?
Who makes these videos?
Who, dude, 28 million views. How do we get... We need to put more puppies up there.
Show my buddy. Show my buddy.
Jake, your caller.
Okay, there's a video of the lab that does that. It's just like full size, like... like full-size lab who just come on full sprint into like a 5-foot stack of leaves like that, and he's like, and just like leaps and just flies for like 10 feet. Like, oh. Okay, that makes sense.
Alright.
I don't know if we can do 10 minutes of it, but...
I'm just gonna do one more, we're good.
That's way...
Okay, alright,
that's
good.
Way happier.
Okay. Alright, guys. I, love the fans. Like, share, subscribe, and stay toasty.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Hope you liked our show. Be sure and like, share, and subscribe. That's how we get anywhere here. Share is probably the biggest one. And besides that, please check out ToastyPodcast.com or go to Patreon.com/ToastyPodcast for more info on our show or for the full episodes. Stay toasty. Toasty.